The Lord is good. The book of Galatians chapter 6. We will continue today from verse 5, but because verse 5 is the end of a particular portion, we'll just read from verse 1 again. I'll rush down and then I'll begin to explain verse 5. Alright? He said, brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself, lest you too be tempted. He now said, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, that he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another, for each one shall bear his own load. Now, let me just read that verse 5 again. It said, for each one shall bear his own load. Now, there's something I want to just... That's the last thing I wanted to explain last time before we go into the next portion, which starts from verse 6. I just want to quickly explain something there. If you have the King James, it's the way the King James Bible says it. Let's quickly read that because sometimes it might be quite confusing for those who don't understand. From verse 1, he said, from verse 2, he said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in verse 6, he says, verse 5, he says, for everyone shall bear his own burden. All right? Now, that's quite confusing if you read only the King James. That's why I advise everybody who is a student of the word to read more than just the King James Bible. All right? Just use one or two or three, just two or three translations. It will help you understand some things occasionally when you have confusions. And I particularly recommend having New Living Translation and Amplified Bible as additions to whatever it is that is the basic one that you use. Now, this is what he said there, that in verse 2, he said, we should help one another. And when you're studying the scriptures, try and read things in context. When he said, bear one another's burdens, you will see that he was talking from verse 1 about when a man is caught in a trespass. He said, those of you who are spiritual should bear his burden. Do you get my point? Now, the man is in difficulty. Now, he said, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. That's bearing one another's burdens, helping somebody in the time of his troubles. I hope you get the point. Now, but when he now went further down, he said that let each one examine his own work, then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load, or each one shall bear his own responsibility, or each one shall be judged by God on the basis of the assignment that he gave him, and not on the basis of how he outperformed somebody else in another person's assignment. Do you understand the point? Each man shall bear his own load. That is, God has placed something before each person. There is an assignment. If you listen to yesterday's radio broadcast, I ended by telling a story. You know, I don't know, I just felt it was one we're discussing here. I just told that story a bit about a friend of mine. All right? And that, you know, I remember people don't have understanding. They think that you start regretting the course in life you took because of the way things turned out differently from somebody else. Look, for me, all they do is just learn. What I said then, it was really true. It was that if I had known, because mine was a pharmacist, you know, I should have studied pharmacy. I said, I ran nonsense. I ran rubbish. And people say, one day somebody told me that, you should buy your son football. I said, why? He said, so that, you know, coach has any money. I said, nonsense. I rant rubbish. If he wants to play football for health reasons, for exercise reasons, for fun. And if you decide in life, if God now decides one day that you will play football, I hope he doesn't. But in case he does, all right, go ahead and play football. But for me to start buying you football because of one fellow, that one doesn't impress me at all. All right? Uh-huh. Maybe I should buy you, what do you call it? I should buy you pencil and paper because of Albert Einstein. I think that's more like it, in my own opinion. But whatever it is, people are supposed to learn. You don't do things just because somebody else made... I mean, that's pure worldliness, all right? But so I said that in that broadcast, that people will now think that, all right, I should change what I'm supposed to do because somebody else is getting results. That's what Paul was talking about here. that each man will bear his own load. If you succeed in that which belongs to another person, is that okay? All right? It doesn't, what I mean is that when you use somebody else's yardstick, you appear to have succeeded. When you have to bear your own load, you will discover that you have done nothing at all. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. That's what he was saying. Each person in life must learn to man his own responsibility. There's a scripture I want to read quickly. Let me just see whether I can quickly read it from the book of Songs of Solomon. Just from verse 6. It said, "Do not stare at me because I'm swarthy, for the sun has burnt me." Now, how did that happen? My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me caretaker of the vineyards, but I have not taken care of my own vineyard. Now, I like to quote that a little bit from the King James. He said, "My own vineyard have I not kept." And that's what I tell people in life. There's a book I told that it will soon come out titled, How to Work for God. One of the issues that I've had as a person, well, for obvious reasons, is my encounter with many ministers. Not today, it's been for a long time. Everybody seems to have an idea of what you should be doing. Do you get my point? And some have actually tried in previous times, several times, to make me do what they want me to do for their own purposes. I don't know whether I get the point. And sometimes I will appear like a difficult person. Sometimes I appear like an irresponsible person. But what's underlying everything in my heart is that this man wants me to keep his own vineyard, not knowing that my own vineyard, I have to keep it. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, the idea is that, you know, I have something that God has committed into my hand. That's why people have heard all kinds of stories on what I should do concerning ministry. I said, no. God is not going to judge me. When people are older than me, I don't see anything. No. I just look. As they give the counsel, I go to hear them. I store it till I leave your presence. And I quickly analyze everything you have said. If it doesn't fulfill this principle of each person bearing his own load, I quickly throw it away. Are you getting my point? If you read Kenny Hagin, I advise anybody who has any calling to ministry to read Kenny Hagin thoroughly. Do you understand? I recommend you read books like Ministry Gifts, He Gave Gifts Unto Men, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, How to Follow God's Plans for Your Life. I Believe in Visions, especially, very good book. And, you know, a lot of those books in which he said a lot of things, Triumphant Church. In those books, he said a lot of things about ministry work. You know, Kenny Hagin was known as a teacher, all right? And I, too, thought of him as a teacher. But over years, after studying at length, I decided to go with the opinion that he was first a prophet, which is what he said God told him anyway. Because his prophetic insights into how things are supposed to be, especially in the realm of ministry, really helped me a lot. If you read his books, you will be very careful, all right? He explained something that there was a time that every preacher was using tents. You know, in Nigeria, every preacher is starting a church. It's the thing. I'm not saying it's bad, though, and I'm not saying it's good. It's just a fact. Like, everybody is driving maybe black cars. Is it a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. But there was a time, literally, there was a time that most cars on Nigerian roads were white. I don't know, those of you who remember the days of 504 and 404. 404, 504. It was with 505 that the white went out of, out of vogue. You know, black, blue, now came in. Now, so they are just facts. You know, nothing good, nothing bad about it. Do you get my point? So I'm just making that statement, all right? Because some people can be very critical and they don't mind it. They're just starting churches. Churches are good, amen. They are better than beer parlors, amen. It's not a bad thing. Anyway, so what I'm saying is that Kenny Hagin then, in their own, in his season, everybody had a tent. And what do they mean by tents? You go around doing what they call evangelistic meetings. You park your tent. Usually you have a huge truck that parks the tent. And then the bigger you are, the bigger your tent. There are ministers who have tents or who had tents that could seat maybe 12,000 people at a go. Those are huge tents and they will mount the thing and all of that. And he said everywhere he went, people will prophesy to him that God wants him to get a tent. Tents are not bad. People like Oral Roberts had tents. That's how they did their ministry. R.W. Schambach, he had a tent. Big guys then, a lot of good men had tents. In fact, when you see something very popular, God started it first. You understand what I mean? And then all the people who empty and cross the calling of God into their lines, they joined. You know what I mean? God was calling somebody. Maybe no, MTN doesn't cross lines. It's Nitel of those days that will just cross your line. So maybe Nitel crossed the line. So the person too will hear a call, which Gordon's called a missed call, you know, that kind of thing. Alright? So when it's something like that, it started well. God started it. There are a lot of jokers who now follow. Alright, it's always like that. Okay? So in his own case, tents were the issue. So everybody had tents. And so everywhere he went, people would prophesy, sir, the Lord, can I talk to you? The Lord said I should tell you to get a tent. You understand? He said, but one thing he was sure that God didn't tell him was to get a tent. And you have to understand something. Sometimes some things are very popular. You know, they are the happening thing. It's just the happening thing, you know? Like, anytime, it happens a lot, not anytime. A lot of times people heard me and they say, have you met Pastor Banke? All right, so what's the church, you know, the idea? And I said, I don't pastor a church in that context. The person is kind of surprised. Yes, get used to it. Not every pastor pastors a church. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, so for him, the people kept on telling him, do this, do that, do that. He said, but God spoke to him specifically. Go and read that book, I Believe in Visions. And told him, you stay in the churches. Because they were tents, they were still churches. You understand what I mean? So you see, something is popular. That's what, you know, it gives you fame, glory, glamour. You'll be in the pages of the newspaper. You know, you have everything. You know what I mean? Like, for those of you who are interested in ministry work, a lot of, I can't say majority, but a huge number of churches, all right, were started by the pastor who started it so that he would get money to do the thing he really wants to do. I've had people counsel me on that. If you have a church, you have money to pay for radio broadcast. In my mind, have I come to beg you for money now? They carry their tithes and offering to their churches. How will you pay for the broadcast, man? So, God, you've not asked yourself. Bank, you've been doing this for 4 years. Go to Cosmo, whether we are owing them money, you follow my point. You just theorizing. Why don't you just ask me questions? There are things you have done over the years. If you could do it without that setup, I mean, you should learn from me that it is practical, it's possible. Some of the people who support us the hugest don't know the road to Enugu. They can't find their way down here without somebody giving them direction. So whether you do church or not, are they going to attend? They don't live here. You follow the point I'm trying to make. So people say, no. So a lot of things, the reasons why people do things, they vary, okay? They have so many reasons. And let me just add this to you to help us. We're studying Galatians anyway, but we'll learn anyway, all right? Anything you want to do in life, the first thing you do, all right, is examine your motive. Examine your motive. Examine your motive. Purify your motive and you'll never miss the will of God. I said something already the other day. Let me say it again. I said that the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God will bring everything to judgment. Even the things that are hidden. No, he didn't say even the things that he said. The things that are hidden. Because I used to read it as if he said even the things that are hidden. That is, he will bring the things to judgment. The things that are open. And then the things that are hidden also. No, what he said was that God will bring everything to judgment. The things that are hidden. And I realize, I want the Bible to use the word judgment. There are two sides to judgment. There's judgment that results in blessing. All right. There's judgment that results in punishment. Okay. And that what God brings forth as judgment, if you read Psalm 75, God is judge. That's what he said. He lifts up one and brings down another. Or he brings down one and lifts up another. Now, that God is judge, all right, it produces either a lifting or a bringing down. Do you understand that point? Now, what God uses to lift people up and bring people down is the things that are hidden. And I said on radio then that people preach for different reasons. And when you want to preach, it's not how much you have preached. Let's forget preaching. Any good work that you do, people see it outside. There are some people see, others that people don't see. But whether people see it or not, there's one thing that God constantly sees, and nobody else can see it, even if you do it openly. And that's the motive. You know, I've been saying it again and again. You see, when you tie things together, you will see that it's not possible to bribe God and you get anything because he sees your motive. Do you get my point? And that's a hidden thing that God judges, motive. And that's one thing as a Christian. Anytime you want to do something, ask yourself, settle down, don't deceive yourself. If God can bring to the point where you will not deceive yourself, you've had it made in life. You have. That is, you settle down, say, God, you know, even if I don't say it, you know it. So let me say it now. So that you can help me, no matter how terrible the thought is, Confess it to God. Don't deceive yourself. I'm not saying tell me. I'm not saying tell somebody else. Just tell yourself. Once you can tell yourself with your mouth, that's confession to God. Once you start making excuses, you know, God understands now, but, you know. But just say simply, do you know why I didn't answer that phone call? Tell yourself. It's not as if my hand was wet, so I didn't want to spoil my phone. You know, that's, you can persuade yourself and your wife and your friend. That's why, the truth is that, after everybody comes, say, God, let me just say why I didn't answer that phone call. I didn't want that guy to ask me for his money. Say simply to yourself, say, dear Lord, that's why I didn't pick the call. Say, I'm trusting in God, I'm not trusting in man. Say, hi, this is my uncle, don't tell, let me just call him, say, how is he doing? Say, God, no, it's good for a nephew to check on his uncle. That's why I'm flashing him. Tell yourself the truth. Dear Lord, I'm sorry, but I can't resist the urge to see whether uncle will help. No, I'm sorry, after that, flash him. If you want to. Say, dear Lord, you're the one I'm trusting, but bros get money now, and the urge is strong. Let me just satisfy that urge. I mean, you the vex. No, I'm serious. No, because we do that a lot to ourselves. You start rationalizing. I just want to check on him. I just want to see how he's doing. The truth is that you are hoping that if you, along the line, he will say, how are you doing? And you say, I'm fine. Just that project. Say, which project? Uncle, it's going to cost exactly 525,000. And I'm not asking for money, but I just want you to know. That's what I mean. But if you can tell yourself the truth. Sometimes God will say, okay, go ahead, call. Now this, it's not as if God will talk, but you just have a release in you to go ahead, call. And you will call and call and call, and nobody will pick the phone. Then the Lord will say, I hope you've gotten the point. Say, yes, I've gotten the point. That is, don't bother again. You understand? Or he will pick the phone and say, I have been looking for you for a long time. I was hoping you'd come and help me because things are so hard now. I can't even pay the people who are helping me in the house again. So I can't come and spend holiday in the house so you work for me for free for 1 month. You've gotten the point also. God said, you see what I was teaching you? Now, all I'm trying to make is that it's sincerity. If you can speak to yourself in sincerity, right, concerning your motives, believe me, God will really help you in life. That's what I'm trying to explain by all of those things. So, anything we are doing in life, motives, very, very important, all right? So, I was just telling you about what Kenneth Higgins said. Now, what one thing the Lord told him simply was, look, you stay in the churches. What he meant by churches is that there were churches around. People still had to go there and teach. He was a teacher. He will go hold meetings. And I think he did this for 12 years while his mates were getting very famous. Do you understand that? And eventually, most of us don't know the rest of them apart from the stories we read about them that they used to exist. And most of those men, we read their stories where his mates, some of them his junior, all right? But they've all gone. They all disappeared before we started reading. I was already reading stories. There used to be one man. There used to be. But him, eventually God told him, that's literal instruction. Start writing books. Put your materials on tapes. Get on radio. And that's how he kept on getting more known. And it's until he finally died as an old man in his late 80s. And he had blessed such a tremendous portion of the Christians on the earth. And he has scores of books which we are still reading till today. And many people like me still quote him every time we have to preach. And he shaped the life of many ministries that he never knew about. People talk about training in ministry. I said two people were most instrumental in training me for ministry. Number one, Kenneth Hagin never went to his school, never went anywhere. After what do you go to do in school? Nobody to read book. And I bought the books and I read them. Every single one he wrote. Every single one. And I listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours of Kenneth Hagin's teachings. Until today, if you give me a set, even if it's an old one that I've listened to before, I'll listen to it again. And those who are blessed with the word of God will not say they did not hear the name Kenneth Hagin. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there are people who blessed me with the word of God who keep quoting him too. That's how a great man is. You understand my point? You keep on expanding your influence and blessing people on the earth. And the second person, of course, who trained me so much in ministry is the Bishop David Oyedepo. At least he, I met personally, used to go to his school of ministry, weekend programs, three, four times in a year. I went a number of times. Now, but Kenneth Hagin really blessed me, but because he followed his own order in life. So he had to bear his own load. That's what I'm trying to explain all of these things. So you have to be careful that you don't follow somebody else's pattern and you forget that each person is supposed to bear his own load. Now, this applies beyond this level. Everybody also has his own responsibility. Let me give an example. You can help people, but you can never decide for anybody, as an example. You can pray for people. You can help them think. At the end of the day, the decision for their lives belongs to them. It doesn't belong to you at all. Every man bears his own load. And one of the things you have to learn as a senior brother and as a parent, all right, is to know when other people have grown up so that they can bear their own load. You get my point? If you have responsibility, you hold authority over people, you have to realize the time when they will have grown and become of age. There's something I find about a lot of pastors. Very, very common. They don't understand the meaning of the word pastor. It's very common. It's very common. You go everywhere. You find it everywhere. It's very common. Once you give a man a title, he thinks he should run other people's lives. No, there's small boys that you feel like giving conk on the head. Just give him title. He thinks he should tell every adult when to wake up and when to sleep. Now, it's very common. It's very common. And that, you know, when there is something is popular, but I like one thing Rabbi Zachariah said. He was in the car as I was driving down from work. He said that you can't judge a philosophy by the abuse. So those are the ways by which people abuse things. I'm not saying that being a pastor is a bad thing. I bear the title pastor with pride. You get my point? I love it. I love it. Believe me, I love it. When I go to places, people introduce me and say, this is Dr. Banky. I don't like that title. Get away. This is Pastor Banky. I prefer that. That's what I do and I enjoy. So it's a very good title. Is that okay? Well, a lot of people think that it's a status symbol. So people sometimes want to use it as a quick means to get into respectability. Rush to Bible school, get a certificate, and call yourself pastor. Now on to other people around. No, really, that's not the job of a pastor. Just by the way, for those who are interested, the job of a pastor is to instruct people in the ways of God. You understand my point? What I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, each adult still has to make his own decisions. You follow my point? Each person bears his own load. That's what he's saying. You'll be responsible for your actions. Anything that you do is on your head alone. Look, the only place where wahala go in my head, all right, in your life, is if I teach you what is wrong. Do you follow my point? So God will say, you are the reason. You are the reason why that fellow is misbehaving. But when it comes to critical decisions, and some of the reason why I don't like counseling, people come and say, well, can we talk to you? I say, have we met before? No. Why should I talk to you? They need counsel. You know, they go to church. That is, don't you have a church you attend? You want to go to a pastor in your church and go and talk to him? Why do you want to talk to me? Yes, sir, I've been listening to you. And I don't think you have been listening. Because if you have been listening to me, you won't come and worry me over here. It's okay. Have you read this in my book? No. So why do you want to talk to me? A lot of people who want to talk to you, they want them to tell them what to do. Okay. Now, what do I do under these circumstances? That's one thing, Banky doesn't do to people except for the closest of peoples. Do you get my point? That is, you know, I know that if I speak, it's usually based on principle, something you can use another time. You can come and tell me now and say that, Chukubeke says, Pastor, please, I want to marry and I like that sister. Well, she's married now. Then I'll tell you, that shall not confess your neighbor's wife, you know, it's based on principle. Don't do it. It's based on principle. You can repeat it to somebody else. That's what I'm trying to say. That's it. But as per, I don't look the 12 in a, I'm not sure saying I go match. I will never say that kind of rubbish. What, me? No, because there's no principle of looking at two people and saying they won't match. I may think so in my heart, but it can't come from my mouth. You will think I'm joking. I know people that do it too. I won't mention the name of the church. I have friends who went to some churches. The pastor could just look the girl, say no. Say why? She's a church worker. You're a businessman. She has to marry a pastor. It sounds funny. You can follow me after the service. I'll take you out of this Bible class. I'll take you to churches where they do it. Every man will bear his own load. You're not going to say, am I God? You're not saying the woman that gave us me. Am I God? So what's the problem? Say, Pastor, they have been having problems at home because of the woman that gave us to me. That story ended in Garden of Eden. It not concern me. Come and meet me. I want to marry. And if I don't think, if the lady doesn't look like a Christian, I say, are you sure she's a believer? You say yes. You're sure? Yes. Okay. All right. I'll go home and go and pray for you. I'll tell my wife, ah, Chukwuebuke, don't begin crazy. Let us rebuke the spirit of graciousness. You know what I say? And we'll bind you. The next day I said, have you woken up now? I said, yes, sir. Yeah, she said, I said, no, I don't think so. I said, good. I think there was a spirit disturbing you yesterday. Now, you're getting the principle. We can give you counsel based on principle, but to give somebody direct instruction, do this. I don't do that to adults. At all. We'll just keep on discussing principles. If we discuss counsel, you know, it's a matter of understanding the principle so that when you leave the place, you will be able to make further decisions by yourself because you know the ways of God. And that's actually the job of a pastor. That's his job. That's his job. Not to run anybody's life. If you like, marry from Namibia, marry from Kenya, marry from America. That will not concern me. As long as the person loves the Lord, do you get my point? That's the only thing I can say. Beyond that, you understand the point? Why? Because each person will bear his own load. That's what I'm trying to explain, all these things that I'm saying. Each man has a responsibility, how his life will turn out. You know, if you, that book, Grace, Choice is Key to Destiny, I explain that principle there again. Because I've listened to people talk. Some of them I've had to seriously correct, would disagree on issues. Say, it's because of their background. I say, stop saying this background thing when you're talking to an adult. Are you getting my point? Because I remember those days, I used to make a joke when I'm teaching in Lagos. I said, when I entered university, in our first year on campus, you know, there's these childish boys who came from Lagos, a lot of them. I remember a few in my head now. And now they come asking you, which secondary school did you go to? Because they went to King's College, you know, that kind of thing. And those days, KC and QC. I mean, it's not now, everything don't spoil, they buy everything with, no. Then, I entered university in 1985, so you understand, that's quite a while ago, all right? So then, where did you go to? QC, KC, you know, they felt tough. One of them, third year, they kicked me out of the school. Those of us didn't go to KC, we finished the school. So forget all of that. You know, if I remember another of those QC babes, by the time I was a resident, she was finally finishing medicine in UNILAG. Now, I used to say something then, that look, when I went to uni, everybody said, which school did you go to? QC, KC, this one. They were laughing at those who came from school that they had not heard the name. And I said to my dude I was preaching to in Lagos, I said, okay, after all of that, where are all of us now? All of us, if I made a joke, I said, we'll now live in this building, RMO3. That is, whether you went to KC, QC, DC, GC, whatever it is, over time, at the end of the week, we all went to do the same exam, West African School Certificate, and jump, enter into various universities, qualify with our MBBS now. It doesn't matter where we have come from. It is where we have reached that now matters. Now, that is the way the life of every adult is. Your father was a bully. Your mother was a witch. Listen. See, when you are 10, it's okay. I will see the bully inside you and the witchcraft inside you. Fine. When you are 15, around that time, as your friends, they drive you, some of your village people, they drive you to shrine for this side. Now, so God don't deceive, in quotes, your parents to let you go to school. God has a way of doing things. He said, okay, my father is a Muslim. Okay, no problem. But you went to secondary school. And evangelists will come to your school. And there's no how. God will lead you into the truth. He will get you to a point where you have to accept or reject. And he doesn't judge you based on who your father was. He judges you based on whether you accepted or rejected. I heard that story say, you know, these people are from this area. That's why I say, that's rubbish. Say that when they are 15, 16. And then they are hitting 20. Story don't change you. And you see a 25-year-old young man or 25-year-old woman. They say it's because of her mother that she's behaving like this. I say, no, it's because she's a witch herself. Do you follow my point? Listen, no, that's the way. That's why I wrote in that book, Choice Key to Destiny. Every adult bears his own load. Every adult. When God was going to kill people in the wilderness, ha. So Moses, just check their age. Once they are 20 years and above, kill them with... That is, they have reached a point in which every adult bears his load. Someone was telling me a story. I was talking to one of my colleagues the other day. He found out where I came from, my hometown, and some things that happened in my hometown some years ago, began to discuss it. There was a man. Since I was young, I learned that he was a very, very stingy and mean. No, the word stingy is not good. Let's use the proper English word, mean man. You know what mean man is? Mean. is mean financially, and mean in getting the money, and mean in spending it, and mean in sharing it, and mean if you try to take it. And yet, qualified them to be one of the richest men in the country. The Bible tells me that I heard that the man was the richest man in the country. I said, no, I don't think he made it that far. But he was very wealthy. Decades, he had his reputation. I don't want to give too many stories so that it won't start getting personal. You know what I mean? The name falls out from my mouth. But when the crisis broke out, and this crisis, riots, you know, all kinds of riots all over town, and the people that have been angry with him for decades, they faced his businesses. Those guys wrecked billions and billions of naira worth of property belonging to one man. Now, this is the story about it. He had children, of course. Two of his sons is the story I want to tell. One of them, I had just bought a car then, or this was many years ago, worth maybe over 10 million naira then. They burnt the thing properly. They didn't even try to loot the car. Why do you want to take a car? Police will catch you after. Burnt the car. They burnt it thoroughly. Burnt everything. But this is the point. And that they cut the... Now, listen. They were going to kill him. They killed people. So it's not as if they were killing people. Now, I told the story about somebody that died, you know, the previous time. They killed him. They were killing. This was a serious mob. It's not we no go Greek kind of mob. These were men brandishing weapons, you know, really out to kill. So the old man ran, and that his son also had to disappear. But this is the point. Another one of his sons came out and faced the mob and was begging. And that one, then they look at him. This is a good man. He was able to, you know, of course, he didn't listen to his pleading and everything, but he didn't enjoy him. He didn't run. Everybody loved him. Two men raised of the same father. One was hated as much as he hated his father. The other one was loved. Each man bears his own load because he was known for being kind. He saw all that meanness in his father. Not one drop was found in him. Do you follow my point? Loco, there's a proverb from my zoo part of the country. They say it is with your own hands, literally, that you repair your character. That is, they assume that your father spoiled it, your mother spoiled it, your society spoiled it. Then you now get to a point, you now go and buy a screwdriver, hammer, chisel. Then at night, you face the mirror, look at your teeth, hammer it into this correct place. Look at your head, bang it small. You know, rearrange yourself. Look at your chest, it's sticking out too much. You hammer it back inside. Your shoulder is raised too high. You knock it down small, small. And then you come out next morning, you're a normal person. All the arrogance and bad behavior that you learn from your community, it has disappeared. Each man bears his own load. That's what Paul was saying. All right? Today is not an exposition on one verse of the scripture. Let's continue. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. All right. So, that concludes that segment. Let's now go to the next one. Now, in answer from verse 6, I'll read from 6 to 10. Then we'll pass a few comments. I hope we can finish the whole of Galatians today, the chapter 6, so that we can conclude. So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. Please, let me say this to you again. You read the Bible in context. Is that okay? Because we have grown over time to hear one quote here, one quote here, one quote here. We think they were written in short phrases. The Bible is not exactly poetry. You understand? Though it has some poetic portions. All right? But usually those are like you find in Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and all of that. But even Ecclesiastes was generally written like prose, not really poetry. Okay? Now, it's written in context. Now, the letters of Paul were letters. He was writing to people. So he didn't put quotable quotes all over the place so that people can quote him. It's just that he put so much truth in them, we can extract things. I'm going to say that when you are reading the scriptures, read in context. Is that okay? It will help you. He said, now, let's continue reading again. Let the one who is taught the word share all things with him who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption or problems and decay. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, verses 6 to 10 is just one paragraph. Everything there was saying the same thing. I particularly like reading my Bible in Bibles that put them in group in paragraphs. All right? And that's what the type I have here. The one that just put one line in a paragraph. Sometimes difficult to really know where the point starts and where it ends. Okay? I like Bibles that just group the things into paragraphs and inside we insert the verses. What I have here is New American Standard arranged in a paragraph form. So 6 to 10 is a single paragraph and it was explaining a particular principle there. Now, it said three things. They're talking about the act of giving. It said, now let the one who is taught the word share all things with him who teaches. Now, this is the principle behind that. Now, if you see under the Old Covenant, they had a particular principle. You know, these days in Christianity, we talk so much about tithing. You know what I mean? Right. If you don't tithe, you're going to hell. All right? That's a joke, amen? Though I've heard a man say it before, and he wasn't joking. But I just said that, no, sir, this man cannot be serious. He's joking. He said this. The Bible says you're a thief and you're a robber, and all these thieves and robbers are going to hell. So you think you go join? I said, oh, God, no, be so. But anyway, he wasn't talking to me. I was listening to him on tape. So, all right. Now, anyway, but like I said in my book, Grace to Prosper, I discuss these things at length. There's something about the laws. I'm not trying to teach tithing now or anything, but I just want to explain the principle there. People say it was under the law, not before the law. I said, that one, and I just. Tithing the way we preach it today was under the law. The tithing of Abraham is not the one we preach today at all. I'm not discussing it, but just bear in mind that Pastor Banky said so. The tithing of Abraham is not the one we preach today. Is that okay? The one we preach today was first practiced under the law as commanded by Moses. It did not exist in that form until that day. So let's leave that one there, okay? I'm not discussing it. But the point is that every law that God gave Moses, there was a spirit behind it. Okay? And what I discuss in the book, Grace to Prosper, is that spirit that let's look at it and see the spirit behind it. And the spirit behind it was that the people, I told you that before, that law was given because people were not kind by nature. Those who were kind by nature did not need those laws. Do you understand the point? Just now, when I was sitting down, just something I want to bring out. I was eating some chips. So when the year came, I said, oh, it's almost finished. I'll take the remaining. So she was not laughing. We're just joking. That she read somewhere that if somebody gives you the last food that he has, the person must love you very much. You know, I said, that is true, Nami. I love you very much. No, we're just playing. Now, there's something I want to bring out with that statement. That's not the Bible, all right? But it's true. It's truth. Do you get my point? What does it say in effect? If you love somebody, you'll be willing to give the person even if it's your last meal. No, that's the point. So, and people just know that, anybody that's willing to give up the last that they have for you, all right, somebody that's really is concerned about you. But God looked at the general visitor, these people, they are not concerned about the priest. The priest will starve to death. So, now, you getting my point? So, he put down laws. Love or no love, this guy must work. Love or no love, this temple must be sustained. If you don't love me, that's your personal problem. But just make sure the thing is complete. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Alright? And that's why, oh God, you know, I keep on going over it. You hear it all the time, so I have to keep on going over it again. That is why I can't just agree with this gospel we preach about giving and receiving. We teach selfishness. That's not God. That if you want, give. No! If you don't give to me because you love me, carry your money. Go away. What do I look like? Kalo kalo. No, they call kalo kalo. Kalo kalo, no, you're a word for slot machine, you know? Put your coin inside, drag them. If I was to make a joke those days in school, one of my friends would look at another brother. He said, have you sold into his life? His fertile ground, sold into his life. That is, forget whether he needs the money or not. You need something, give to that guy. His fertile ground. It was a joke when we were on campus. You walked up to your friend and say, oh boy, sold into my life, I'm very fertile. That I'm fertile ground. You give me your money, God will return it back to you. I mean, that's so ungodly that selfishness is the only reason why we can't even see that it's not good. That the reason why we give is because we want to collect. It's not a good thing. Now, so God gave them those laws, all right? Because the people, they are not nice people at all. A few people who had the love of God in them, like the Shunammite woman, you saw it. There was no commandment that thou shalt build a prophet a house. But because of the love of God, she saw a man come around. Anytime the man will come, she would say, sir, why don't you come back to our house? We'll have dinner ready for you. Then she talked to her husband. This man is a holy man. I perceive that he's a holy man. Therefore, why don't you just make accommodation for him anytime he comes around? That's the spirit of love working in her. And of course, he brought forth for her blessings, which we all know. God had a son, the son died, and then the son was raised back again. Later on, after her husband had died and everybody had disappeared, or she too ran away, when she came back to the land, God arranged so that Gehazi was telling the story of her life to the king when she came to beg the king for her property that people had taken over because he disappeared.